Thank you, Daniel. I'm certainly thankful that our brother has laid the foundation concerning the great message of salvation. Until a person understands their need, the remedy really has very little appeal. But when an individual comes to understand where they are, where they stand before God, that the problem is not out there necessarily, though it is, but the problem is within us. We are sinners, and that's why we need God's wonderful salvation. So I'd like to build on what my brother has spoken of. I want to read in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. I want to read three statements, all from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first one is in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. And this is a very, very well-known verse. And a very wonderful invitation, isn't it? Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now that's not conditional, is it? That's one of the affirmations of the Savior. I will give you rest. And so that's verse number one. A second verse in John chapter 12. John's Gospel chapter 12. And verse number 32. John chapter 12, verse number 32. Again, the words of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all," says all men, "will draw all unto me. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all unto me." So clear, isn't it? One of the tremendous affirmations of our Lord Jesus Christ is just over the page to chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we'll read it verse number 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Notice this, verse 3. "And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You know, our lives here in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, wherever we're from, our lives are all involved with a lot of plans, with schedules. Ultimately, we say, I will do that. I will go there. And you know, the Bible is filled with all kinds of examples of that. In fact, in Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus told a parable. And he said there was a man, he was a very, very good cultivator. He was a good farmer. I don't know if he lived in Australia or not, but anyway, a very good cultivator, and he had a bumper crop. And the problem was he didn't have enough storage room. So he said, "What am I going to do?" And as the man's mind was operating, and as he looked at the need, he said, "This will I do." He says, "I will pull down my barns and build greater, and I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods there." Wise plan. And then he says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you've got a lot of things stored up. Your future is watertight. Your security is beyond measure. I'll say to my soul, soul, just take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I will pull down my barns." There's another example of the disciple Judas. Remember Judas Iscariot? A man that had spent time with Christ, but he never really knew Christ. He had never received Christ. He identified with him, but he wasn't part of it. And there came a moment when he went to the enemies, to the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him up to you." And he says, "How about 30 pieces of silver?" He says, "Done. I will deliver him up to you." And then, of course, there was Pilate. And he says, what am I going to do with Jesus? He says, I will therefore chastise him, and let him go. So we're reminded, not just in our own personal lives, but even in the truths of Scripture, that there is an awful lot of I wills. But what we have read today are three of the most wonderful I wills of the Savior. Come to me, all who are laboring, who are burdened down. And he says, I will give you rest. That's Christ and his promise. And my dear friend, you can bank on that. You don't have to wonder if he's going to deliver on what he promises. He always gives what he promises. I will give you rest. And I want to tell you today that you can leave this conference with rest in your soul, with the wonderful truth of God's salvation, with forgiveness, with peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because of Christ and his promise. We've read about the cross with its tremendous power, and I be lifted up from the earth. You say, what's that all about? Well, we'll tell you. I will draw all unto me. And today, as the gospel is preached, and as the gospel goes out across this world, individuals are being drawn to Christ. There's a power to this message. There's a power to the cross of Christ. Christ and his promise, the cross with his power. But then we read that very wonderful statement of the Lord Jesus just before he went to the cross. And these disciples sensed that something was not adding up. There was anxiety. There was concern. He says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And notice what he says. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, the gospel just doesn't take care of our past and impact our present, but the gospel impacts and delivers us concerning our future. And so we have, number three, the coming with this tremendous prospect. I'm so glad for that golden promise. I will come again. And today there's many believers here in this conference, and we are waiting for that moment when he that shall come, and will not tarry. So very quickly, let me just go back to this wonderful statement of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 11 is a very pivotal chapter. And I'm sure we could spend a week on each one of these statements. But very quickly, we have read the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus at the end of this chapter. He says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Could I say that if you're content with your life right now, if everything is sunny side up, if you're in the driver's seat and everything seems to be going your way, then this invitation has very little appeal, doesn't it? But there are those that understand that I have a great need. Brother Daniel has reminded us of the impact of the reality of our sin. It has separated us from God. It has brought discord in our life. We're marked by fear and we're marked by guilt. Sadly, many times people, when you look at them, they have a very, I call it a plastic smile. Seems that everything is going their way. When the truth is known, there's heavy hearts. There's guilty spirits. There's regrets. They wish they could change things. And then, of course, this statement comes into their awareness. Jesus has come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let me just divide that wonderful statement just very quickly into three parts. Because you see, we have a very simple invitation. He says, come to me. Come to me. That's the person. And tonight, or today rather, we're not inviting you to join us. We have nothing to join. But we're seeking to invite you to receive the Savior. He himself could say, come unto me. And sadly, a lot of times people will try everybody and everything else except the Lord Jesus He says, you come to me and I will give you rest. You know, if you come to any other person or any other thing, you're going to be disappointed. I don't care what name you put there. The Prime Minister of Australia, the President of the United States, or whoever. You come to any other person and you are going to be disappointed because they will not be able to give you rest for your soul. In fact, there's no one else that can make you safe and deliver on it again, is there? You know, when I think of the Lord Jesus, I think of the wonderful appeal of the Savior. He was approachable. He was approachable. He never turned anyone aside. He never came up to anyone and said, listen, I can't deal with your type. You're too young or you're too old. You should have come earlier. No, he was approachable 24/7. And he's still approachable today where you are. He turned no one aside. In fact, sometimes the mothers of Salem, you remember, they tried to bring their children to Jesus and they had to go through the disciples. And the Lord Jesus said, listen, you let them come to me for the sight of the kingdom of heaven. And tonight, regardless of where you've come from and where you are right now, this Savior is approachable. He's available. He's attractive. Because you see, he didn't come to condemn us. We're condemned already. Daniel has reminded us we have a big problem. It's the problem of our sin. And unless our sin is forgiven, we can't go to heaven. And unless our sin is forgiven, we'll never have peace with God. And yet, we understand that this Savior came with this wonderful invitation. You come to me. You come to me. And sadly, there's millions of people, and they refuse to come. They think there's somebody else that can meet their needs, and they miss Christ. But the invitation is so simple and so clear, is that come unto me. There's something else in this verse. There are what I call some particulars. The promise is clear. Come to me, the person. But the particulars. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know, there was an awful lot of people that came in contact with Christ. He was surrounded by thousands of people during the time he was here. Thousands of individuals were fed from his hand. But not everybody saw the entry with Christ. Not everybody received Christ. Because you see, they came to Christ with a variety of conditions. There were some that came and they came to see a sign. He was a miracle worker, and he was. He did some amazing things. And there were people that came to him and said, I wonder what he's going to do today. I wonder what kind of miracle he's going to perform. They were looking for some kind of a media event. Something to kind of wow them. But those people that came just to see a sign, something spectacular, they missed Christ. Some came with a ploy to try and find some fault in him. You can read chapters where there's all kinds of questions. And the Lord Jesus saw through all of their hypocrisy, through all of their falseness. And there's still people today, and they come to Christ, and they come to hear the gospel, and they're coming to find fault. They're opposing the truth of God, as we've been hearing. And there are those that came with these difficult questions to try and trip up the Savior. They missed him. And yes, there were some. You remember after he fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, who knows, maybe 15,000 people, I don't know. But they said, Lord, this is a win-win for us. Let's make them a king. Free bread. And my dear friend, if that's how you come to Christ, you're not going to find rest. Because it's only as guilty sinners that we find rest. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. A good friend of mine was out visiting one time. And anyone that knows John Procopio knows that he just says it the way it is. And he came up to this woman who was sitting on her doorstep, and he just says, "Looks like you're having a bad day." And she looked at him. She didn't know him, he didn't know her. She says, "No, sir, I'm having a bad life." And you know, there's a lot of people like that, aren't there? They haven't found rest. They haven't found peace. They're still looking. They're still searching. And here's Jesus Christ saying, he says, "Come to me, all who are laboring, working, trying to find solution, heavy laden. Here's the promise. I will give you rest." Tell me, what does rest mean? Now, I'm speaking generally. Well, rest comes when the work is finished, usually. And I know that a lot of times you come to the end of a project and you lay down your tools and you say, "Well, it's done." And a lot of times it's not quite done. Always something to add to it. But really, there's rest when the work is done. And here's the statement of the Lord Jesus: "Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Can I just remind you that if you come for any other purpose, and you'll be disqualified. You see, salvation is not, it's not a bridge over troubled waters. It's not a solution to a bad marriage. It's not trying to get a good feeling. No. We need forgiveness for our sins. We need to have a relationship with the God of heaven that we are separated from. And this wonderful Savior has come, as we were reminded last night, this mediator, this go-between. And he came to bring God and man together again. When that wonderful transaction takes place, there is rest, there is peace, there is forgiveness, and there is acceptance. I wonder, have you come? I'm not going to tell you my testimony, but let me just tell you. At 55 years ago, this is May, it was March. 55 years ago, as a Burton University student, guilty, helpless, hopeless, I tried every which way. And I finally came to understand that salvation was found alone in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that moment I understood that what took place at the cross was just for me. And what I discovered? The truth of Matthew 11:28. I had rest. The work was finished. I had peace. I knew where I was going. And I had a love for Christ. Christ and his promise. But there's another statement we read very quickly. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all unto me." Maybe you're here today and you say, "I don't understand that. What is Christ talking about? And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all unto me." Well, let me tell you, that verse involves, first of all, an event. He was going to be lifted up. And then there was the result of that event. Okay? So this is what the gospel is all about. That there was a Savior that came. But he himself could say to Nicodemus, a very religious man, he said, "Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," and that's an Old Testament story, "just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." What he was referring to is the fact that he was going to go to the cross. And he's going to be nailed to that cross. And the cross is going to be lifted up and dropped into the socket. And there he was going to hang. Nailed by hands and feet, he'd be lifted up. So what was that event all about? Let me tell you today that Christ was lifted up as a spectacle of our ages. The world despised him. The world hated him. You know, as we read our Bibles, there is absolutely no reason why the world should hate Christ. He spoke truth. He showed grace. He exhibited love. He met the needs of all who came to him. He turned no one aside. In fact, he was the savior of sinners. And despite all that he did and all that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I was thinking this morning of David being sent to seek the welfare of his brethren. They were the battlefronts. And you remember that there was the giant Goliath there, and things were not going well for the army of Israel. And so Jesse, the father, sent David. He says, take these things and go down to the army, to the area of warfare, to see how they're doing. When he came, his oldest brother said, with a scorn, with sneers, he says, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? You know what he's saying? David, just go back to where you belong. Go back to the sheep. And I've often thought, what did David's love turn down? And then I thought about the Savior came. Where would we be if he'd never come? My dear friend, we wouldn't be here today if Jesus Christ had never come. But he was lifted up as a spectacle. In fact, a hymn that we love to sing, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. And as we see the cross of Christ and the Christ of the cross, we see the evidence of our contempt, of our hatred, spit, human spit on his face, a crown of thorns on his head, a back that had been raped with a woman whip, nails through his hands and feet. In fact, the Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. He was lifted up as a spectacle of our hatred. But oh, my dear friend, he was lifted up as the sin bearer. The sin bearer. And John the Baptist, one day, in the midst of all of his preaching and teaching, he paused because he saw a man coming. And he said, behold, ladies and gentlemen, behold, the Lamb of God, which bears away the sin of the world. You see, the Lamb of God came, he was going to the cross. It wasn't an accident. No, that's why he came to lay down his life. He came to pour his soul to death. He came to pay a debt that he didn't owe, because we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. And there he was, lifted up on the cross. Yes, we did it. But it was part of heaven's eternal plan. And he was lifted up as a sin bearer. And today, many of us would say he was there as my Savior. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's the event. That's the event. What are the results? He says, I will draw all unto me. Do you understand what's happening here today? You might say, well, I didn't expect to be at the Kuroi Conference. Not in May of 2026, but here I am. What's going on in your life? Why are you here? Well, you see, behind all of the circumstances and the issues of our life, there is a God that is drawing us to himself. In fact, we were reminded yesterday that God desires all people to be saved, not one missing. That's the scope of God's salvation. Whosoever believes in him for this world of ours will not perish. And today God is drawing individuals with a very, very gracious intention. I have a memory in my memory bank. This goes back 44 years. And we're having a baptism at the end of a summer of gospel work. And we're down in Yander Lake, that's in central Newfoundland. And there was quite a large crowd that had gathered. And one of the young women that got saved that summer was a nurse in training. And she called up her friend Ron to come and see her get baptized. So he came. And I still remember Ron coming there, leaning up against the car with his arms folded like this, a big beer belly, and, bits, unkempt hair. And there he was, looking around at all these Christians, wondering what this is all about. Until he told me later, he said, "I looked at all these people and they seemed to be so happy."
And we were.
We are. And he said to himself, perhaps this is what I've been looking for all my life. Perhaps this is what I've been looking for all my life. You see, part of that event was the great purpose, the great result of being drawn to Christ. And I think it was 3 weeks later that Ron was saved. He's part of the assembly there in Gander. He's on the oversight of that, helping others. But God drew him. And God has an interest in you today, wherever you come from. Whatever age you are, you're being drawn with gracious intention. You're being drawn with amazing patience. God speaks once and twice. And in my experience, I can only bow with thanksgiving that God continued to speak to me. He draws with amazing love. But I just want to remind you, because time is gone, I want to remind you that there's a very solid part to this statement. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all unto me." You say, "Mark, does that mean that everyone's going to be saved?" No, no. But everyone will ultimately be drawn that being Christ. You know, if you come to Newfoundland, you'll understand that we're very involved in the fishery, and there's a variety of fishing types of vessels. One of the types of vessels that is used, is called the stern dragger. And what that simply involves is there's a big big wheel at the end of the back of the boat, the stern of the boat, and there's a huge net. Sometimes maybe half a mile long. It's like a big sock. And it's let out the back of the boat as the boat is going along, and the dragnet, as it's called, sinks to the bottom. There are doors that are open, and then the skipper puts full throttle on. You know what happens? That large dragging net scrapes along the bottom of the ocean floor. And everything comes up. "And I will talk to you, I will draw all unto me." And tonight, or today, I trust you'll understand that the one who sent these words moves with sovereign power. You will stand before him, either as Savior or as judge. And Daniel has reminded us the wages of sin is death. You don't want those wages. And that's why today this wonderful Savior is inviting you to come. Just let me remind you that the future is bright for a Christian. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive to myself that where I am, there you will be also. You know, those of us who are saved, this world is not our own. We're just passing through. We're going home. And I love to go. I mean, it's great to be here in Australia, but I love to go home. You know, those of us who are saved, we're going home to be with Christ. To enjoy Him forever, to serve Him, to worship Him. The singing was good today. But you haven't heard anything yet. Because when you think of the chorus of heaven, millions upon millions upon millions of believers all singing about Him and to Him. What a gathering that's going to be. "I will come again, receive to myself, and where I am, there He is." I will. Now the question is, will you receive that? John chapter 1, verse 12, with that I close. Jesus says, "As many as receive me, as many as come to me, as many as accept me, To them he gives the power and the privilege to become part of the very family of God, even though they believe in his name. You see, the work is finished. The invitation is out. And God is waiting for a response from your life. Will you come? Not to join something, not to write your name on a piece of paper, no. You respond to Christ. And if you were to receive him today, you would leave with rejoicing and peace because of God.